comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful, beautiful little island of blue in the cosmos that we call Earth. Thank you for being here. Welcome to talk radio like nowhere else on Earth, the radio show where you actually matter. Sad news today. Regardless of whether you agreed with his politics or not, Congressman John Murtha has passed away. And he was 77 years of age, apparently passed away following gallbladder surgery. And our condolences to his family. And certainly that something like this, you ought to set aside any kind of political views you have and, you know, whether you agreed with his politics, he was a fellow human, and we extend our condolences to the family of Congressman John Murtha. Big news in New York tomorrow. You know what's going to happen. There's going to be a vote. This is a vote in the Codes Committee of the New York Senate. And if this particular piece of legislation passes in the Codes Committee, I guess it will become law in New York State. And that is that health workers will be able to give children under 18 years of age vaccinations without parental consent. And that will take place tomorrow, that vote. So those of you in New York, you need to do whatever you need to do. You need to call your state senators and tell them what you think about that. Congratulations are in order to the New Orleans Saints and to all the citizens of the Houdat Nation. New Orleans Saints handily won the Super Bowl yesterday. And, you know, after my home team here, the Cardinals, the Saints are my team. I'm an adopted member of the Houdat Nation. I used to live in Louisiana, and I remember all those years when it was the New Orleans Aints. And they couldn't even, you know, they went through seasons where if the other team left the field, the Saints would still lose. They were really that bad in years gone by. All that is apparently over now. That's done. It's in the past. They are the American football world champions. And I said it that way because you do realize that outside of the United States, football is what Americans call soccer. But to the rest of the world, football means something other than it does here in the United States. So, you know, American football is kind of like heavy-duty combat rugby. And the New Orleans Saints have climbed to the top of the heap. So our congratulations to them. We'll be back with our secret guest right after this. Well, my guest this evening has been kept a secret from you, and he has been kept a secret from you for a very, very good reason. Those of you who are regular listeners to this show are aware of the reasons why that became necessary fairly recently. And I hope that it has not overly irritated too many people, but it was necessary. My guest this evening is Aaron McCollum. Aaron McCollum is known to many of you because you've seen his interview over at Project Camelot. Now, folks, we have new listeners all the time, and we cannot assume that they all know everything that everybody else knows. They're new to it, okay? And so, Aaron, first, let me welcome you to the Kevin Smith Show.
Thank you, Kevin. I'm honored that you asked me to be on the show.
Well, Aaron, let's, because of the fact that this audience is spread out around the world, we're in about 143 countries now, and not everyone would be familiar with you. Plus, we have people, brand new folks in the genre, just getting turned on to this genre of information. And so they haven't seen the video at Project Camelot, and I'm mentioning that, and they're scratching their head saying, what's a Project Camelot? So let's go back just a little bit here, and give us a little bit of a background on Aaron McCollum. Who are you? Where are you from? And then we'll pick it up from there.
Okay, well, that's... That all on its own is quite a story, which I'm going to be getting into further detail in the next Project Camelot video. But let me try to paint a picture here. Basically, while I served in the military for 10 years, but prior to that, I was in a training program that is still very much alive and active, better known as Project Talent. I come from a line of people that were involved in this project, and in fact, my brother and my sister, whose names will remain anonymous, were involved as well. There were several secret projects that I was a part of, but mainly one that I haven't really gotten into detail yet, which I will be getting in further, but you know, that's not the first reason why I had come out. A lot of my memories I don't have. It's kind of like I live in a world where I get flashes of memories, and this all really started to occur really about 2 years ago, but a lot of things that were coming out, I really just kind of threw off as that I was just crazy. I really thought I was losing my mind. And here's why. Back in the latter part of, in December of 2005, I basically found myself at the airport in Portland, Oregon, with two bags, not knowing how I got there, what I was doing there, or where I had been. After that is quite a story all its own. But so that I don't get off track too much, I guess if I'm going to classify myself in a way that I have actually been classified by others, is a third-generation super soldier under the Project Talent secret government program.
Okay, let's pause for a moment there and talk about super soldiers. I asked a friend of mine who is formerly part of naval intelligence to tell me what he could about super soldiers. And, you know, I'm aware of the fact that some things are classified. I'm aware of the fact that if they are classified and you've taken this oath of secrecy, then you have to honor that. I understand that. So I just ask him, tell me what you can about super soldiers. He said, all I can tell you is that I have heard a little about them. He said, to my knowledge, I never met one. But he said, then that's the point. You would not know. He said, what we were told, what we know, what I know, is that these are folks that you would not actually look at and say, oh, that's a super soldier. And he said, and then I used it on the radio, he said, so we're not talking about people that look like Rambo, and yet they can do things Rambo hasn't dreamed of.
Well,
so
let me just...
clue us in on that.
If I can piggyback on that, he's absolutely correct. Super soldiers, now, mind you also, there are two sides of the super soldier program. There are those who join a regular branch of the military. They go through boot camp. They go to a regular unit. They wear that hat as, you know, petty officer so-and-so, first sergeant, whomever, whatever. But at the same time, most often prior to that, from usually at a very young age, they are selected based on many things, and their training really begins then. It's kind of like they're wearing their hat in the military is the umbrella of what they're really doing. They will get orders to go to maybe a school. They'll be temporarily assigned to another unit. This happens with that. But there's also the super soldier who never goes to boot camp, never raises his right hand, never processes a MEPS or anything. However, they will show up at military bases with a rank, with a uniform, even with ribbons, a record, everything, do what needs to be done, then disappear. I have a couple friends who were earlier generations who one time would be at a naval base, the next time they would be at an Air Force base. Now, with that, as you were saying, as this person you were talking to said, yes, you don't have the typical super soldier is not this, you know, the type you see in the movies, the big Rambo type with the muscles and all that, because of enhancements that are done. Now, you also have the super soldier, which is the physical super soldier. They, you know, their physical abilities, strength, endurance, pain tolerance, and so forth. Then you have other super soldiers that are more of what's what we call psyops, psychic operations. Well, they'll say psychological operations, where you have more of the psychic super soldier. But these are things that are all determined based on evaluation when this man or woman are much, much younger.
Okay, how old were you when they started training you?
Well, okay. I have just recently been speaking with two members of my family who were both involved, who were able to share details with me, and I had had some memories, one in particular, of being very young, maybe 3 or 4 years old, where I was taken to a facility. At this facility, it was very almost sterile, like a hospital environment, and there was a pool there. Just not like the pool you see in the back of the house. It was very much a rectangular pool, deep. I remember being placed in the pool, but then after that, the only thing I remember was laying on a table and coughing and gagging. And then someone saying, it was either he fits or we have the right one. I later find out from these family members who told me on their own that I had indeed been taken to a facility by another family member, and that this was indeed an evaluation to see physically how I handled a traumatic event. So the only thing that I can gather, and mind you, this is a lot of this is very foggy memories, and getting some confirmation from people whom I absolutely trust. These are family members who have opened up to me to tell me what has happened to them. So, because this one family member, she was at a very young age, but for a different yet parallel program. The targeting age is usually between 3 to 5. Now, that could be anywhere from something as simple as they sit them down and have them put some puzzles together. Or they even, you know, will do some, put up some cards where it's blank on their side, but there's an image or a word on the other. Or it could even be some kind of physical test. There are many different, the scope is actually quite large because there's many different fields that they may or may not want them involved in.
Okay, so to the best of your knowledge, it began with you at age 3.
That's the best of my knowledge, but again, I myself am still searching for a lot of answers because there's so much of my childhood that I just absolutely do not remember. Cannot remember a lot of my military career. The only reason I know the time I was in is because I was able to get my hands on some of my military records through someone whom I was working with when I had been called back to duty in 2008.
Okay. What is the reason for your memory loss?
The only thing I can gather is I do have a definite memory of when I was in Puerto Rico. I had come across some information involved with the project that I was a part of. I know for a fact that I was very gung-ho. I do have memories of being very pro of the project, being pro-military. Everything I was doing was right. Something inside of me happened. This I can't explain, but I began to question and actually feel remorse for what I was doing. Now, I really lack a lot of basic emotions. I don't feel bad about death. I don't feel fear. I don't feel all this. But something had happened. I had gone to my handler and the commanding officer over one of the sub-projects and had started questioning. After that, I remember ending up at some kind of hospital in the middle of Puerto Rico, literally out in the middle of the jungle of the of Puerto Rico, where no one was speaking English to me. I didn't know what was going on. I was feeling almost like I had been drugged. And then the next memory, I don't even know what the time span was, but the next memory is me at the Portland, Oregon airport with 2 bags and trying to figure out what the heck happened.
You probably have considered the possibility of what I'm about to mention, but the same ex-Navy intelligence guy told me that he watched your video at Project Camelot, and he was looking for specific gestures, movements, behaviors, etc., and here's what he said. He told me 2 or 3 things that he noticed, and he said, you know, that's very typical of someone who has been programmed. And he said, so, you know, his memory loss may be a programmed memory loss. And, you know, he said, you exhibited several of the signs of someone that has been programmed. Have you ever wondered if the memories are programs rather than memories?
Yes, actually, you know, I have considered that, absolutely. I have to, in my situation, I have to allow myself to consider every scenario when it comes to my life. Because I try to be very careful about jumping to conclusions. So that I don't, within myself, subconsciously manifest memories and want to feel that they're real. Was some kind of programming done to block the memories? I'm pretty sure that to an extent something like that happened. Were false memories put into me? I already know that a few are, because when I was talking to a few family members and some people that I had served with about memories I had that were definite, they weren't matching up. So I was already able to put a few memories as, okay, these are something for some reason I'm remembering, but no one else is, and these people were definitely there at that time.
Well, it's also possible that they had that memory wiped from their minds.
Trial and error with me.
Isn't it also possible that they, if they were there at that time, had that memory wiped from their minds?
That is true also. And mind you, the family members that I'm speaking of have a lot of lost time in their memory as well.
Okay, Aaron, we have a break coming up here in a few seconds, but when we come back, I want to get to this information about MK Ultra and what it is, and, well, I just have several questions about it. And then I want us to talk about this Stargate in the Gulf of Aden. Are you up for all of that?
Yes, I'm very much up for that.
Okay. All right, folks, we have a break coming up, and I think you can see now why we kept our guest a secret. And when we come back, we will continue talking with Aaron McCollum. Don't go away. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking with Aaron McCollum. Aaron, when we went away, I said, I want to get into this stuff about MK Ultra a little bit. First of all, now you told us you spent 10 years in the military. Which branch of the military?
The U.S. Coast Guard.
Okay. So you're in the U.S. Coast Guard. Prior to going into the Coast Guard, you had been in this training program called Project Talent. And that's T-A-L-E-N-T, Talent?
That's right.
Okay. And then you go into the Coast Guard, and then you continue with Project Talent. You're a part of whatever that is. And then after a number of years go by, you find yourself at the airport in Portland, Oregon. Two bags. You have no idea how you got there and no idea why you're there. And then as time goes by, the memories start coming back to you. All right. Now, let me ask you a question. This is obviously a highly secret, highly classified kind of a project. Would that be a correct assumption?
Absolutely.
Okay, here's the question. How is it that you're able to talk about it and not be assassinated?
Well, really the same reason why my friend Duncan O'Finion is able to talk about it without being assassinated. There's actually several reasons. One, as you know, the government is very good at putting out disinformation and, you know, making statements, even going as far as putting out false documents to really create kind of a civil war amongst people as far as, you know, complete deniability. This is absolutely ridiculous. This is something that you only see in the movies. And, you know, so they can kind of rest at ease because they know that the majority of people, the masses, will not believe this.
Mm-hmm.
That's not to say, though, that my life hasn't become difficult since I've really started talking about this. And even over a year ago when I first met Kerry Cassidy of Project Camelot and started talking about this, since that time, my computer has fried 5 times. I have gone through numerous cell phones. I've had to relocate 3 times. I was hit by a car, wound up in the hospital. No police report was done. Nothing was done about that. And then to go even further, I was asked to attend a conference that was supposed to happen in Boston. And just a month before, I started receiving threats not to go.
Who were these threats from?
They were sent to me through email with no return. There was no way for me to respond. Now, could that have been something else? Yes, but the people that were putting the conference together, and I wasn't the only one. There were others that had received threats. They felt that, besides other complications, that that was just one of the reasons why the conference had to be postponed.
Okay.
A little bit more, I mean, we could really dive into the rabbit hole here as far as in, I'm trying to remember, it was in the, I want to say July or August of 2008, and this was right at the beginnings of when I was called back for a project where I had a general at Camp Pendleton sit me down and very bluntly tell me that I would never be able to have a normal job. Life will always be difficult because I am a piece of property. I'm an investment. And whenever they will need me for service, they will utilize me, however.
Wow. So it's a case of you can never be free.
That's right.
Okay, so then the reason that you can talk about this stuff is because they have it hidden so deep that they can just say, he's nuts. You just see that stuff in the movies. It's not real.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, I've been getting a lot of that. But then other things start to... I had gone back in contact with a handful of people that I'd worked with in the Coast Guard. Now, I was starting to ask them just a few questions, nothing too invasive, just because I was trying to get an idea. I was trying to put the pieces together. All of them, just right at the same time, broke off contact with me, would not have anything to do with me.
Mm-hmm.
So that I find very suspicious. Because it went from everything being just very casual, being very careful, to nothing. But yes, they can say this guy is just, you know, he's crazy, he's out of his mind, and that's fine. And they can say that all they want, because what little proof I have of actual documentation is enough to show that, you know, I know for a fact that I'm not crazy.
What kind of documentation are we talking about?
I have correspondence between 2 different generals discussing what their intentions were with me that I later on became a part of. I still have those tucked away. I also have the first segment of a classified document that was handed to me by a gentleman who was working as a liaison between me and the generals. He was a captain in the Marine Corps. And this document I don't have in front of me, so let me, I remember, I believe it was around, this document was first drafted and presented by a vice admiral in the Pentagon in 2000. And what it is it's a synopsis of everything the U.S. military has planned, is everything from population control, Star Wars program, threats, false flag events, going all the way up to 2015.
Mm.
And I have that in my possession. One of my theories, and again, I'll be saying that a lot because there are a lot of things that I have that are just my theories, just based on what little I have.
Mm-hmm.
One of my theories, the reason why I'm still kind of somewhat in a safe zone, is because that right now is my little trump card.
Well, I hope you don't keep those where you live. Don't tell us, but I hope you're not keeping them where you live.
No, no. I have them at an undisclosed location with someone whom I thoroughly trust.
All right. Talk to us about MKUltra. We've all heard about that. Was that sort of the umbrella program over Project Talent?
Yes. MKUltra is a general classification for many, many sub-projects. And the list goes on and on, but I'll just give you a few. There's Project Talent, Project Monarch, Project Mannequin, Project Montauk. There's also Operation Spyglass, Project Stargate. Those are the ones I can think of off the top of my head. I have a list somewhere, but it's not with me. But there are many, because MKUltra has many branches with other countries that have created sub-projects as well. Like the UK have several that they up and ran, and then the information was shared with, for instance, with the U.S.
All right. Is MKUltra still in business?
Yes. It's just that name isn't really used because it's more of a classification for all the different sub-projects. I mean, even MKUltra has really kind of branched out more or less with a lot of different... They have their hands in a lot of different cookie jars as far as projects, even things involving the secret space program, facilities with underground bases, general mind control, and, you know, they also have different, they're intertwined with, you know, the CIA and NSA, and they've got their hands everywhere. It's really kind of the main research defense project of the, you know, what a lot of people know as the shadow government.
Okay, Aaron, you came across some information about some kind of anomaly taking place off of the coast of Yemen. And that's really how I came across you. Was that information. And if you will, tell us a little bit about that information.
Well, there's a few people that I have either... There's a few people I came in contact with, and then there was a few people just really out of the blue had contacted me. How they got my information, I don't know. A lot of it I had to really question and really thumb through, but then some of it was becoming more and more consistent. The information that I was getting was that there was major movement in the Gulf of Aden. Now, there's always been a big military presence there because of the Suez Canal and the so-called pirates off of Somalia. But then I started getting information about how there was massive ship movement there, warships coming from Russia, the UK, Iran, Israel, the US, and the list goes on. Even that Blackwater, which is now known as Z, had a ship there. And then I had started researching on my own to find out, why was this information coming to me? Why did these people feel the need to let me know? There had to be a reason.
Well, who are these people that were letting you know?
What's that?
Who are the people that were letting you know? Are they military? Are they...
They were all military.
I'm sorry?
They were all military.
Okay. Active duty?
Yes.
Okay.
They were all active duty, but of course, without them even saying anything, I just will not say their names because I do not want anything to happen to them. I'm not necessarily worried about myself, but I'm very concerned with the safety of others.
Okay, fair enough.
So, I started digging. Now, when I start researching, I almost go into autopilot, like I'm not really myself. I've recognized this within the past year, that when this happens, something, I don't know if it's a program or something that has, without sounding too theatrical, but like there's a glitch in my system. And I come across this information, then I find out that there was a strange magnetic anomaly that had occurred, and there has been after effects of that. There have been...
Okay, Aaron, we have to step away for a break. Folks, we'll be back right after this. We'll pick up right there in the Gulf of Aden when we come back. Welcome back. With me this evening is Aaron McCollum. We're talking about a lot of things. We've talked about a little bit about his background as what is termed sort of a shorthand. We term it super soldier. And then we've turned our attention now to this anomaly that has been reported on the internet to be in the Gulf of Aden. Aaron, when we went away for break, you were just beginning to tell us about you were getting all this information from these active duty military people, and you wondered, well, why is it coming to me?
Yes. I was wondering. I still am wondering why. Will I ever get that answer? I don't know. But the information that they were sharing was all matching up. And to even go further, the day of my Project Camelot interview, Carrie Cassie told me that the night before, she'd been contacted by a gentleman who they spoke for, I think, 4 hours. This person had said that he was with the Air Force and was part of the secret space program, and that he had been an operator of some kind with Stargates, the ones that are controlled by the military. He'd given a lot of details that she hasn't been able to share with me, but this person and I have never talked to each other. When I came in for the interview, Carrie told me about the information. She was really surprised, but also happy to know that she was getting information elsewhere. Because with a lot of this, and with me specifically, I like to try to get things verified as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And this person had disclosed information about the Gulf of Aden and the Stargate. So, with that, I noticed some other things that had triggered in my head based on the Gulf, and this, not so much just the Stargate at this point, but what was happening in the Gulf of Aden. All this ship movement. All of a sudden, Yemen being talked about, not just on the internet, but in regular news about this is going to be the next front line of the war on terrorism. And it started to really puzzle me because I was thinking now, being in the Coast Guard, I do have memories of doing maritime law enforcement. And when you have a boat, maybe 25 feet long, with six individuals in it, that whatever firepower they have, there's still six of them. Now, someone's going to tell me that a multinational anti-pirate operation that has been going on for years can't stop this issue?
That is a little bit hard to believe.
It's very hard to believe for me. Now, then I started seeing how they're now talking about U.S. Marines and more operations and a lot of movement happening in North Africa. This rung a bell because when I was called back into unofficial service in 2008, the first three things that, first three operations that I was a part of, at this point, I was just kind of working as a liaison to help orchestrate a few things. One was false flag operations and police state movement using the military within the U.S. California was being targeted as the grassroots state to implement this for whenever it needed to be. Second was operations involving operations involving with Israel on attacks in Iran. Third thing was, the third thing was I had met some individuals that had been part of the Australian military special operations. Three of them were, they had the Australian accent, but they were definitely of Middle Eastern descent. They could not go back to their country. They could not go back to Australia because false reports and false warrants had come up that of murder charges that they had never done. So the U.S. military cut them a deal that if they worked for the U.S., they would not be extradited to Australia. So where does this go with me and really trying to put the pieces together? There has been a lot of interest with North Africa, specifically in the past 2 years with the U.S., and a lot of it is moving up in the northern Africa, like Somalia, Ethiopia, Libya, that whole area. A lot of movement there. They're now wanting to target Yemen, okay? Then all the ship movement, and they have an area in the Gulf of Aden where they're basically, all these ships are circling around. Even Japan, who really doesn't really move warships drastically too many places, have now warships over there. So based on everything that I know for fact of the operations that I was a part of in the U.S. back in 2008 and the beginning of 2009, and seeing that things were starting to piece together as a warning sign. Now, were these things that were being planned that I was a part of in 2008, was it preemptive for the Gulf of Aden? Part of me says yes, but then there's another part of me that still needs to dig a little more. However, I had been told that there would definitely be false flag operations happening in the United States, and this is back in 2008, mind you, that there would be false flag operations in the United States that would be occurring within the next few years, to black out other secret operations that would be happening in other parts of the world. In my Project Camelot video, I had said this, and then, you know, I was hoping I was wrong, but then I'm sure you saw just last week, the director of the CIA comes out and announces that a U.S. terrorist attack is imminent in the U.S.
Well, yeah, but let me play the devil's advocate a little bit.
Sure.
Isn't it possible that there is no linkage whatsoever between the CIA director's announcement and by the way, the same kind of announcement went out across the UK, went out across Britain, that they're expecting major terrorist attack. But isn't it possible that there's no linkage whatsoever between that and any kind of a false flag? I mean, isn't it possible that it's real?
Yes, it's possible, but just my gut feeling tells me that no, that this is definitely false flag. You know, just if we look at things, the story with what they're labeling as with the underwear bomber, the story changed so much, and then all of a sudden, now word gets out that he had ties with Yemen. Their story changes to correlate with what their intentions are, and their intentions do change. Things do get modified depending on how the public is feeling, what happens, logistics, all of that. Is it possible that they have no relation to each other? Yes, but my gut feeling tells me no, that this is definitely something that they either moved up or they had delayed because of this magnetic anomaly, this Stargate in the Gulf of Aden. Now, there's been a lot of reports that I don't even, lots of reports saying that, you know, you can see metal objects in the sky, that the, mm-hmm. that the Stargate actually emerged from the ocean. Even with the little crazy world I live in, I'm not really buying that, because if that had happened, even as well as the governments and the global elite are able to keep secrets, I believe that there would have been a far more outcry and things would have been...
It would have been public everywhere. All right, we have to step away for a break. We'll be back right after this.
Arizona, this is the Kevin Smith Show.
Welcome back. Those of you joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. I'm glad you're here. Sorry you missed literal gold mines of information in the first hour. My guest this evening, Aaron McCollum. And Aaron, when we went away for break, you had just commented that some of the stories about this Stargate seem to be too fantastic. And I agree with that. But you know, the whole story is pretty fantastic. For a lot of people, it's very, very difficult to wrap their minds around the idea that Stargates are a reality. So,
and that's understandable, because the a lot of things that are placed on TV or in movies are not everything. Because they're clever, they will mix it. But there are a lot of things that are exposed constantly to the public with the label of fantasy and science fiction, because the brain automatically relates that to scene of the movie and that it's what it is. It's science fiction and fantasy. So that's completely understandable. I do not blame people for feeling that things that I have been saying and that what others have relayed are completely out of this world and not in reality.
All right, now back to the Stargate and the Gulf of Aden. There is a photograph out there that it's a satellite photograph that says this is the Stargate opening. And you see this looks like a swirl pattern of a cloud or mist or a fog and a big, huge swirl. But one of the things that I have noticed about that is you can't see those 300 ships that are supposed to be there.
Yes, and I have seen the same image as well. That image, I'm not really sure about, but what I can tell you is that, and this is something I'm sure that you know and some of your audience knows, there are a lot of locations that you'll see satellite images a lot through Google Earth, and if you look closely, parts have been blocked out. Sometimes it's just very subtle, and you have to look very hard to see it. That specific image I've seen, it looks like some kind of weather pattern. Was that the anomaly? It very well could be. But there aren't any ships right there. Now, was that image tampered with? That's definitely a possibility. But again, if that had happened in that, for a Stargate, and this was information that was shared through Carrie, of this person who I in turn tried to contact, and suddenly his email didn't exist and his phone number didn't exist. If for a Stargate, again, this is secondhand information, but for a Stargate to really surge that much power, people in a massive area, hundreds and hundreds of miles away, would have seen or felt something, an impulse of some kind.
I also saw on the internet a related story related to this Stargate in the Gulf of Aden. And the related story said that there had been a 6.2 or 6.3 earthquake in Yemen, and perhaps people in Somalia felt it too, but it had not been reported by any of the seismographical agencies around the world. Now, I find that one hard to believe. Because, you know, look, all the seismographical scientists around the world have not been clued in that they're not supposed to report something.
Right. So something would have had to have been reported by at least someone.
You would think, yeah.
I would think. Mm-hmm. Because with how many, with all the technology that is allowed for scientists to have that aren't working in any kind of secret program, the measuring equipment, all the equipment they have, is very accurate and works very well and from a very far distance.
All right, let me toss some additional information in here. I might have a question or two more, and then we'll open up the phone lines. Before you were scheduled to be with me last week, I had Dick Criswell with me. And Dick Criswell was formerly the number two guy in AlphaCom, which was formed under DARPA during the Clinton administration. And their task was to pull together as much information as they could find that the government has related to UFOs and extraterrestrials, and to decide what could be released to the people and what could not. And there was supposed to be a disclosure happen during the Clinton administration, according to Dick Criswell. And according to Dick Criswell, President Clinton and Vice President Al Gore were briefed on what had been found. And the way he knows, he says, is that it was a conference call, and he was on the conference call. And so he knows for sure that they were briefed. Okay, then AlphaCom got sidelined, and the whole disclosure idea got sidelined by the Monica Lewinsky / impeachment / Bosnian war involvement. episode. Okay, now, I asked Dick Criswell on Monday night about this story, the Stargate.
Okay.
I had phoned him earlier in the day and asked him to check his... did he know about it? And he said no. And I asked him to check with whatever sources he has and see if he could find out something. So live on the air Monday night, I found out at the same time everyone else found out when Dick Criswell said that he checked with a three-star general who told him that it is a Stargate and those ships are there, and that's about all he'll say about it. Now, I forget if it was the next night or the next night. I forget if it was Tuesday or Wednesday. You were scheduled to be with me.
Wednesday. I believe it was Wednesday.
Yeah. All of a sudden, your phone gets disabled.
Yes.
And I can't get in touch with you. Well, through email, but I couldn't get in touch with you by telephone, so we couldn't do that show.
Yes.
The next morning, I decided to call someone else who had been talking with me about this information, this Stargate information. And I thought, okay, well, maybe there's some additional information I can get from this person. That telephone had been disabled. And in a roundabout, indirect way, I was able to get a message to that person who got the message back to me that it's a cell phone. That cell phone and his wife's cell phone are on the same account. Hers was still working fine, but his had been disabled. So it's not for non-payment, or both would be disabled because they're on the same account. And that was kind of a weird deal. Now, here's where I'm going with that. When a black hole appears in evidence, when a black hole appears in information, it appears for a reason, and the truth is usually sitting right in the center of it. And a black hole, of course, pulls information in and doesn't let information out. It pulls stars in and doesn't let light out. So when a black hole forms in the information, so that information is flowing into it, but you're not getting much out of it or not getting anything out of it, then the truth is usually right there in the center, and usually you just look at the issue around which this black hole developed, and that tells you that there's some truth, there's some veracity to the information that was gotten out before the black hole formed. Okay? So I couldn't get in touch with you. Your phone had been disabled. I couldn't get in touch with the other party. His phone had been disabled. There wasn't any new real information getting to the internet except, and I don't want to sound, folks, listen carefully. I don't want to sound overly negative, but I don't mean to. But the only information that was getting out was from people that were channeling. And the stories were getting fantastic and more fantastic and more fantastic. But the actual information from the ground, so to speak, was no longer flowing to us. A black hole had developed around this whole topic. Aaron, if you had to bet everything that you ever owned, everything you own now, and everything you ever hope to own, on whether it is true that there is a Stargate going operational in the Gulf of Aden, would you bet that it is or is not?
I would bet that it is, without a doubt. And that is from the resources, the strange occurrences that have been happening since my interview with Project Camelot, other verification I've been getting, and also just seeing how what's happening there in some ways directly, in other ways indirectly, relates to projects that I was very privy to a couple years ago. I would bet everything on it that this is very much real. Yes.
Have you heard anything about Stargates previously?
On a few occasions, yes. But at that time, I wasn't interested in investigating that because, and even now, everything that I came across with the Stargate, the Gulf of Aden, the false flag operations, all that stuff that I kind of encompassed together, that has been, in all aspects, a small part of what I have been doing for the past year, which has really been trying to find out the truth of what happened to me, what I was a part of, and why.
So all of this Stargate stuff, it was just kind of incidental? It came to you? It's not something you sought out?
No, it came to me. I did not seek this out. Mm-hmm. The reason why it triggered so much things, like I said, was because of absolute memories of information and operations that I was a part of several years ago.
All right. I'm going to open up the telephone lines and invite our audience, if they have questions or comments, to call us. And it works like this, folks. We have a main number. The main number is 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. And if you have one of those telephone calling plans where you can call and it doesn't cost you anything for long distance, please use that number. If you don't have one of those special plans and it does cost you for long distance, in the United States and Canada, we have a toll-free number. It is 888-223-4599. Once again, the toll-free number, 888-223-4599. If you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada and you don't want to make that international long distance call, you can send me a flash message and I will be glad to read it and we'll address it on air. You do that by going to my website, scroll down, and you'll see a link that says flash message. Just click that and you're in business, okay? All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, this is Max from Texas.
Hello, Max.
How you doing?
Good. What's on your mind?
I've actually got a question for you, and then I have a question for your guest.
Okay.
From what I've been hearing about this Stargate, supposed Stargate in the Gulf of Aden, most of it has centered around something coming through. What about if we actually made this Stargate appear? And the reason I ask that is because of what Jay Wyden has been talking about as far as President Obama's accepted the Nobel Peace Prize.
Okay, that question is for me. All right.
That one's for you.
Well, look, I have no personal knowledge of Stargates or Stargate technology. But if they exist, and if we are in possession of that technology, then certainly it would be possible, I guess, for us to have caused it to exist.
Okay. My question to your guest, he mentioned a list earlier that he had, and it was went through 2015?
Yeah.
Does he have any information on that list about 2012?
I don't know. What about that, Aaron?
Okay, well, it's not really a list. It's more of a, it's the first 22 pages of what I know is longer of an action plan. And the action plan does cover a lot of things. Unfortunately, I don't have it memorized, but it mainly covers, and for from 2000 up to 2015 about a lot of different areas. Like I said, with population control, the Star Wars program, new surveillance techniques, who they are basically labeling as threats to the U.S., such as China, Russia, Iran, and their action plan on what the steps are going to take forth of that. Does it have anything as far as with the 2012, with the, you know, all this hype about the Mayan calendar and doomsday and all that? Off the top of my head, I didn't see anything specifying about that. But I would have to read through it again to see if it does. But off the top of my head, no, it didn't have anything really detailing about that.
Well, the reason I ask that, if there is anything to 2012, which I really don't believe, but if there was, I wouldn't think you would have a list that went up to 2015, if the list is legitimate.
Well, you know, the document I have, I will say, is legitimate, absolute. It was given to me by a general that now works in the Pentagon. And I also agree with you. A lot of this, they're creating this mass fear in the media and on TV and in the movies that the world is going to be catastrophic and complete doomsday in 2012. I think that that's complete garbage. 2012, there is going to be, and this is just my opinion, there's going to be a major transition that's going to occur. But I seriously doubt that it's going to be the end of days.
All right, Max, thanks for the call. 623-444-5889. Toll free, 888-223-4599. 623-444-5889 or toll free, 888-223-4599. What are you hearing about the origins of this Stargate in the Gulf of Aden?
Well, I've heard one of two things. And some of it, like you said, I've been getting a huge wave of people that have been contacting me. A lot of them have been saying that they're either in contact with extraterrestrials or they're channeling it. So I have to be very careful. So I'm just going to say that this is information that's been given to me that I have not yet confirmed. One thing is that this Stargate has been there for a long time. They've known about it. And that it was indeed triggered somehow, either by a government, an agency, whatever. And then the other thing I've been told is that it was brought here at some point under the radar by good extraterrestrials. And I've even heard everything from that there's already extraterrestrials coming through it. I've been told that there is an underground military base there. There are a few other articles on the internet, one about a specific doctor, I don't remember her name, but she had supposedly attempted suicide and said the world needed to be saved. It did relate to the Gulf of Aden, that there's also a research company that's doing some kind of research and testing as far as genetic testing with human and alien DNA. There's so many things coming out right now that, you know, I spend so many hours each day just sorting through emails, information, because I want to be able to try to get a better feel of what is indeed happening there, not just myself, but because I have to put myself out there, you know, I want to be able to provide better information. Now,
sure.
By no means, I've never said, and I just want people to know this, I am not at all an expert on the Stargate. You know, there are other people out there that know far more information than I do.
All right, let's go back to the telephone. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Brent from Wyoming.
Hi, Brent.
Hi, Kevin. Aaron, I have a couple of questions for you, but this first one's rather detailed, so give me a chance to get through it. My understanding of what you went through as a child is that they essentially shattered your personality and programmed different parts of it, leaving you with your conscious mind, but on the subconscious level, there are many different layers. Now, my question is, when you're on the edge of sleep, either going to sleep or waking up, do you have visions or dreams or something that you know you're there, but you're not, but you don't remember it consciously? And if you have those, how good are you at stopping those? What I'm trying to ask here is, would that be able to help you?
I understand exactly what you're asking. I'm going to try to give you a simple answer to that. Yes, the what they do at a young age through many different techniques, a lot of it is really torture, is to put you on such an edge to where your mind actually does split to create another personality, an alter. I have several people who have witnessed me actually switch alters in front of them. A couple of them are people that have been interviewed as well on Project Camelot. I have and always have had, since I can remember, very unusual sleep patterns. I can sleep 1 hour and go for several days. I actually had some people that did a sleep study on me where I go into REM sleep almost instantly. And when I do start falling asleep, I immediately almost feel out of body.
All right, we have to step away for a break. Brent, thanks for the call. We'll let Aaron continue when we come back. We want to hear the answer to that question. All right, folks, we'll return right after this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest is Aaron McCollum. And, Aaron, we have a caller on hold, so I'm going to ask you to keep your answer as brief as possible, but go ahead and finish with what you were answering for Brent from Wyoming there about dreaming.
Okay, well, just real quickly, I get a lot of dreams that feel like it's just a dream, but then later on I will mention it to someone and they will tell me either it's something that they know that I did or that it indirectly related to something I did, almost like my mind is trying to open up the subconscious, the part that was blocked. But there's a lot of other things that occur when I'm sleeping, but I won't get into that right now.
All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. It's Mike from Kentucky.
Hello, Mike.
I have a question for your guest.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of matching gravity waves?
Matching gravity waves?
Yes.
No, I haven't.
Basically, that's what Stargate technology is matching gravity waves. That's what I've been told. So I wanted to see if maybe you had heard anything about that.
No, but that's something I'm definitely interested in looking into, so I appreciate that information.
Okay. All right, I'll get off here, and thanks for the opportunity to ask the question, and good luck on your finding the answer to that.
Thank you.
All right, thanks, Mike. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889 is the main number. Our toll-free number, 888-223-4599. And if you're outside the USA and you're outside of Canada, you can send me a flash message, and I've got a bunch of them. I've got one here from Mexico. It says it's from Mexico, but it's from the U.S. Okay, I don't know how it got through. Bob in Australia. Hi, Kevin. I'm having a gut feeling that this guy is a disinformation agent. Be careful, Kevin. If Dick Criswell was on, I think he would say his BS meter was going off. You don't have to share this email, mate. Just wanted to let you know. Well, if it comes in a flash message, it gets shared. What about that? Somebody thinks that you're a disinformation agent. Are you?
I hear that a lot. I just, once in a while, I will browse through the comments on YouTube about my Project Camelot interview, and that alone is kind of a civil war. It seems like every other comment is, you know, supporting me or definitely saying, I've been told everything from there's no way I could have been in the military. I'm a Manchurian candidate that is under their complete control, giving out disinformation. I'm a druggie or all this other stuff. That doesn't really bother me that, you know, he said that. In fact, you know, I respect people's opinions. I am just merely giving the information to allow people to have a better understanding of what's going on. And with that, I know that a lot of people questioned this interview because it really came out of the blue. And I didn't really get into detail of who I am or what I am, which I'm going to be doing in the next Project Camelot interview. The sole reason for this interview was actually Project Camelot's idea, because I had been discussing with Carrie Cassie about these things. And she had been getting information from people that don't know me that all matched. So she.
Well, let me say this. And I don't know about your credentials. I haven't looked at your credentials. But let me say this. You were in the Coast Guard. I absolutely know from personal experience that the Coast Guard has people that get assigned to wear some other uniform, and everyone else who is legitimately wearing that uniform is told, he is one of you. You accept it that way. Ask no questions. He's got a job to do. I know that from personal experience. I have seen it. I have personally experienced that. So I know that part of it, that's not fiction. That happens. Okay, let's go to the telephone. And caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, good evening, gentlemen. It's Terry from Ohio.
Hi, Terry.
Yeah, you know your video's down?
No, well, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, I couldn't get no picture at all.
Well, there are people watching it.
Is there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't get it up on mine for some reason. I'm just listening to it. Aaron, yeah, I seen you on Camelot, and it was very interesting. And the things that you said, I know for a fact from the people you mentioned, you know, corresponding, that they, you know, that what you said, it corresponds to some of the things I've heard about these other people. And my question was, yeah, you did say that you was going to do a full-length interview or an A to Z interview. I was wondering if you could tell me when when that might happen, because I'd be interested in.
Well, all I can say now is that, can you hear me?
Yes, and I hear a helicopter above you.
Yeah, I'm sorry, there's just suddenly there's a helicopter flying overhead, but that just might be on patrol. I'm sorry, so I've talked to Carrie Cassidy about this. Now, she's currently in Europe because she's seeking out some other whistleblowers to do interviews. Upon her return, which is happening later this month, then within the next couple weeks after that, when her schedule works, we are going to get together. We are going to film the full interview where I'm explaining myself from A to Z. Unfortunately, I can't give an exact date, but it is planned. It's going to happen.
Yeah. Okay. I keep a close eye out for that, because I'd be very interested in that. And for both of you, Kevin and you, what you said on air, the government's still going to go through with their new world order, and they're talking about war and all this stuff. I still can't understand why there would be like 300 ships down there, and and they're letting every country in on it, or at least they know about it. United States and stuff would be very beholding or secret of it if they was possible. So something tells me that it's something that they're very concerned about, a threat, and they're getting everybody on the same page, just in case or whatever. What do you think about that?
And do you want me to answer that, Kevin?
Yeah, go ahead. And by the way, Terry, let me ask you to try the video now. We restarted it just because you said it wasn't working. But there are people watching it, and so apparently there are places where it's been blacked out. But go ahead, Aaron.
Okay, well, now this Stargate, this operation's happening in the Gulf of Aden. It's not necessarily was a U.S.-sanctioned, U.S.-controlled operation, because the U.S. has definite ties with secret government projects with Russia, the U.K., and other countries. So this very well could have been something that had been brought to the table, if you will, with the global elite, and so that everybody was already in on it, not that they had brought them in afterward. That's a very much a possibility.
Okay, very good. Yeah, let me say, for those who, if you happen to be in a place where the video is being blacked out, you should still be getting audio, and it is a radio show. But you, if you're a member, you will be able to watch the captured video after the show. But don't turn the show off and say, okay, I'll watch it later. You need to hear it now because you may, in fact, have a question that you want to call and ask. The telephone number is 623-444-5889 or toll-free 888-223-4599. All right, let's see. We have from Puerto Rico. What are the probabilities that they are using your guest to weed out whistleblowers in the system without his knowledge? What about that question?
Well, that kind of goes along the same comment that gentleman made about that I'm just here specifically for disinformation. The thing is with whistleblowers, and there are quite a few that I'm in contact with, but they have other expertise or whatnot. The ones, I will just say this, the people I'm in contact with have been giving me a lot of support, and these are people that are very level-headed, that if they felt that I was, full of it, would not associate with me. Is there a part of me that may still be getting used? That's possible. The problem with me figuring that out is that when there are times, I do have times, even within the past year, of lost time. Sometimes it's hours, sometimes it's days. I would like to think that I'm not still being used, but the truth of the matter is that people like me, the government still has somewhat of a hold on. But I'm speaking, and everything I've done with the Project Camelot interview and speaking now is coming straight from absolute. I have had no intentions and do not have any intentions of trying to cause any problems or disinformation with the other whistleblowers. And I know that some of the other whistleblowers are far more knowledgeable of this specific topic of Stargates than I am.
Yeah, but they're not coming out and talking about it. Okay, let's go back to the phone. And caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Oh, hello, Kevin. This is Heidi from Manitoba.
Hello, Heidi.
Hello. I've just got a quick question for your guest.
Okay.
What I was wondering about, what is the purpose, the real purpose behind this move for full-body scans at the airports? We're being told it's to combat terrorism, but based on your knowledge of this sort of the secret government and the secret military, what do they see as being the real purpose for trying to force everybody to go for these full body scans?
It's just another step that they're taking to implement, first, really country by country, of globalization. It's just another fact. It's just another step that they're taking for control and to invoke fear. Because when people see that, it does create fear, whether they realize it or not. And fear is what they need in order for the general public to not rise up and ask questions.
I'll tell you this. Heidi, thanks for the call. We're headed into a break here shortly. I'll tell you this. Not the last time I flew, but the time before, the genius at the TSA asked me, after doing a full body x-ray, if I was wearing briefs or boxers. My response was, you just took a picture. What did you see? So I'm not really sure the full body x-ray is really, it's got to have some other purpose. All right, we'll be back right after this. We are back, and we have time for one more call, 623-444-5889, or toll free at 888-223-4599. We have a couple of flash messages to get to as well. And let's see, this one, do the Stargates, this one is from Blue in Australia. Do the Stargate teams rely on GPS tracking devices while traveling through wormholes? And did you have contact with other civilizations and other nations' Stargate teams?
Again, I'm by no means an expert of Stargates. There were teams that I was involved with in other projects, secret government projects. But those, to my knowledge, were not teams involved in what is known as Project Stargate. But I also, unfortunately, because of the massive amount of memory loss, even many chunks in the military, if there was a time when I had ever ran across that, I honestly don't remember.
Okay, let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. You'll have to keep it short. But your first name, okay, and from where are you calling?
I'll keep it quick. This is Eli from Portland, Maine calling.
Yes, Eli.
And I was just curious if our guest had any thoughts about how we could rid our society of this evil cancer of the abuse and torture of children to make them into these program killers, and what we could do legally to bring this to the light of day and punish these people. And I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
All right.
Well, there's a bit of a campaign, if you will, that has been started by a friend of mine, Duncan O'Fingan, where he actually had a letter drafted that is posted on his website that he has asked everyone, whether you were a subject of this or not, to send to your representatives, to congressmen, to the president, to try to get all this information really exposed and to stop it. What's really going to take is for the majority of the public really to, demand it. And how is that going to be done? I mean, that's a process that I don't have the answers to, but right now, I mean, even though there are people who are by the masses, by the thousands all over the world that are waking up to these things, right now it's unfortunately still not enough. So for all of you that are listening, if you're wanting to learn more about this, there's much information on the web. And if you are very strong about it, start talking to people, write letters. I mean, that's the only way we're going to be able to do this.
All right, Let's see. Yeah. Okay. That one's from Canada, but they tried to disguise it. When you try to disguise it, it may come through. You know, you're really from Canada or you're really from the USA, and you send me a flash message and you put on there that you're from Afghanistan or you're from, you know, wherever. You know, the filters still read the IP address and search it out. But once in a while, one of those gets through. Anyway, we have, if you're in Canada and if you're in the USA, we have telephones for you, and I even pay for the call. It's a talk show, not a type show. Okay, Aaron, let me take just a moment here and make sure that everyone knows what's coming up. What's coming up, folks, after the regular show goes off the air, which will happen at the regular time, we will go into after hours. Now, it may be that because some of you have been having some trouble with watching on video, some of you in the members area, it may be that we need to do something to get around that. So what I'll ask you to do is just when we go off the air, just close your browser and give me approximately 2 minutes, 3 minutes, and fire it all back up again, and we will continue with after hours, and you should be able to see. I think you'll be able to see. I hope you'll be able to see. Okay? All right. Aaron, one of the things that happens with anyone who has been associated with the government, and then they start talking about what they know, is there's always a suspicion that this person is disinformation. Now, I've been affiliated with the government, and even I am suspicious, not really suspicious, but careful about buying information from people who have been affiliated with the government. I know I'm not disinformation, but then on the other hand, people hearing me, some may think, well, he used to work for the government. You expect him to say this or that. You see? So.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so what we've got is someone calling on the wrong phone line, and that's what that beep was. Okay, here's the point. And, folks, this is important. Everyone wants disclosure. If it happens, are you going to say, well, that's disinformation? Because the people who are going to make disclosure, if it ever happens, are people who are inside the government right now. So am I saying, okay, well, you ought to just believe everyone? No, I'm not. What I'm saying is, why believe anything? What I'm saying is, why believe? Listen to it, think about it, let it percolate, listen to other people and what they say, and let that percolate, and time will tell what the truth is. The truth will still be standing at the end of time. Everything else will fall, but the truth will still be standing. So there's no need to throw religiously your belief into what anyone says, nor is there any reason to religiously disbelieve. And by that, I mean you fervently, you feel it in your bones. Well, you know, that's called flying by the seat of your pants. And you know how many dead pilots there are as a result of flying by the seat of their pants? Bunches. Bunches. Okay? Let the facts be the facts. Forget the feelings on this stuff, and you listen to all kinds of ideas from all kinds of people. Let it percolate. Some of it will remain standing, and some of it won't. That does was true. I don't know. You may disagree with that, Aaron. Aaron's going to be with us in after hours. And as I said, when we close the show, what you need to do is just close the browser. Give me 2 or 3 minutes and open it back up, okay? We will continue. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do, too. And you can call me whatever you wish to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.